You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
And we have another installment in our awesome series on the book He Restores My Soul, available from Emmanuel Press. Hopefully you've been able to hear some of the other interviews with some of the other authors of these chapters on the crosses that each of us bears and how we can bear those crosses or the crosses of our loved ones from a Christ-centered identity and worldview. Joining us today to talk about her chapter on dementia and what it's like to care for the people around you who may not be able to remember you anymore. Deaconess Pamela Bailey Silva, who serves at Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California. Welcome, Deaconess Pamela.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here with you today.
Absolutely. So your chapter, you have chapter 13, is titled I Remember You, based on Psalm 23, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Before we dig into the elevator speech version of your topic, tell us a little bit about your work as a deaconess, what you do. I know Katie previewed, when she was previewing authors, she was talking about all the mercy work you do. So give us a little bit of a background of who you are and the mercy work that you're able to do.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm also a registered nurse. So I sort of came into church work through the back door of becoming a parish nurse in 1996. And then in 2006, because of the work that I did as a nurse, I was invited to travel to Kenya to work with the deaconesses there. And there was, that time was the great HIV/AIDS epidemic. So bringing along my mercy skills, my nursing skills and my mercy skills, I encountered these amazing Kenyan women and said, wow, that's who I want to be when I grow up. that led me actually to go to school at the seminary in Fort Wayne and get my master's in deaconess studies. And then, so I graduated in 2011. And now serve as deaconess here at Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland. Because of that, I've been able to do a lot of traveling through Africa and India and working primarily with deaconesses in trying to help them with the work that they do with Christ's poor and suffering ones. And in that, I learned way more than I ever teach them. So it's always a privilege to be among such amazing people.
Absolutely. So yeah. Your chapter on dementia. Tell us about this topic for your chapter and why it's so personal for you.
Yeah, you know, as a nurse, I certainly had encountered many, many people who suffered from dementia and Alzheimer's. And even within my own family, my grandmother and an aunt and an uncle. But then it hit very, very close to home with my own mother. And ironically, our conversations about it really began right as I was preparing to do my first travels in 2006. So it's sort of been this long, arduous journey of watching my mentor and my dear mama kind of succumb to this disease and dealing with her fears and my own fears and kind of in the midst of that, you know, where is God and how do I wrap my arms around this? And it was a very intense and personal journey.
What were the fears or the questions you had at the first sign of dementia?
Well, I think my first questions were more because my mom was so afraid. You know, she's also a nurse, and so both of us, I mean, literally years ago had said, you know, we could handle about anything but not dementia because it seemed like the total loss of control disease, right? Mm-hmm. You just sort of succumb. And so as she began to recognize her own symptoms, And having watched her mother and family go through this, she became very frightened. So to see this person that I always thought of as this great solid rock sort of become this fearful, vulnerable person, and then me trying to reassure her and not really knowing what to do. And I think that's the hard part. It's just you can read about it, you can, you know, study up on it, think you can prepare yourself for it, but it's, there's no preparing for it. And so kind of journeying alongside her and trying to recognize what I can give her is Christ's love and mercy, and just be present. So, yeah.
Did you find that that fear subsided at times?
It did as she began to lose more of her mental capabilities. So it took several years, though, because she, you know, as it first began, it was very slow. So she knew that she'd forget things. And it took a few years for that to kind of go away. So that was hard. And then, but with her fear subsiding, then the forgetfulness was more intensified, so that she began to forget, you know, routines, names of things, names of her friends, names of her grandkids, and, you know, finally even my name. So it's sort of a odd, weird trade-off, I guess. She's pretty content now.
Sometimes, you know, as a nurse with a medical background, sometimes when we know a lot about something, it almost makes it harder because you feel like you should have the answers and you should be able to fix it. Is that something that you also went through?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because nurses are used to fixing things, mm-hmm. right? And she was the same way, right? She'd always taken good care of herself. I mean, she even enrolled in, like, some long-range study for nurses and, you know, did things to keep her brain and body healthy. And so to come into this place of complete helplessness was difficult for both of us. But at the end of the day, we don't really have control over anything. You know, I mean, that's the reality mm-hmm. in which we live. And, you know, sort of both of us clinging to the whole idea of, you know, as Paul says, when I am weak, then he is strong. And recognizing that in our vulnerability is where we really often then have to lean on Christ's love and mercy in a way that I don't think we were able to before. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. What were the things that got you through? You know, there's good days and there's bad days with these kind of long-term health journeys. What things got you through those rougher days?
I know that in a weird way, my travels really helped me in the sense that because of the traveling I had done, it was kind of a similar journey of not thinking you're going to be prepared for something and then everything just gets blown out of the water and recognizing that it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to need help. And that my resting place then became Christ and his suffering. I began to interpret this suffering through the suffering of Christ. And to recognize that Christ suffers with me, Christ suffers for me, and my mom, right? So even though she's forgotten, God has not forgotten her, that he still holds her in the palm of his hand. And that, being able to write about it, I did a lot of writing, personal writing about it, talking with my pastor and good friends and other people who had sort of been on this journey. Those are things that were helpful for me.
What are the promises that you heard that you'd cling to during that time, those promises that helped you continue to carry on?
I really clung to the promise that Christ says, I'll never leave you as orphans, right? Mm. That to know that we're never alone. To read the Psalms and hear the laments and the complaints, but then the always coming back to the fact that God's love and mercy, they're steadfast, right? God does not change. And that he does remember us. And so his love and his goodness and his mercy are embodied words. They're Christ. They're living words. And that even though I do fear, I don't need to fear. Even though I do get anxious, I don't need to be anxious. And so it's kind of that rhythm of that back and forth lament and then the reassurance of God's word that kind of would anchor me. And then coming off, you know, obviously coming to the divine service and receiving his body and blood and just holding on to those promises kept me anchored.
Did you find that the liturgy was helpful for both you and your mom?
Totally. Because it's so ingrained in who we are, mm-hmm. right? And the beauty of being able to enter into something that seems so ordinary that invites us into the mystery of Christ. And, you know, as things, especially for her, as things began to disappear, some of the things that remained for her were the shortened version of the liturgy when the pastor would come to her house, the words of institution, the Lord's Prayer. And every once in a while, she would just say some spontaneous prayer at the table, and you think, wow, where'd that come from, you know? The liturgy is just that vital lifeline that becomes a part of who we are.
Absolutely. What do you hope people will get from your chapter, or will get from reading what you've written?
Well, I hope that they'll get an honest version of my story, in the sense that when they're not alone, if they're suffering, that there's permission to feel what they feel and to recognize that there's always joy in the midst of sorrow and grief. There's always hope in despair. And through our own woundedness, we're connected to Christ's healing wounds. That's what I would hope.
That's fantastic. Deaconess Pamela Bailey Silva, serving at Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Rockland, California, and author of a chapter in the book from Emmanuel Press, He Restores My Soul, which you can find at emmanuelpress.us. Thanks so much for joining us on the Coffee Hour.
Thank you so much for your time.
You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates. The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.